Good morning. Our scripture for today is taken from Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Grace and peace to all of you on this Lord's Day. It is a joy to be back with you again. It has been a wonderful day thus far. We thank you for your warm hospitality. And we mean that in more ways than one. I invite you to now pray with me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us gathered here, and fall afresh upon me, your servant. And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, for you are my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. It is customary in the world of sports to award great players the honor of being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And earlier this year, 8 heroes of the game were elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The class of 2016 consists of owner Edward the Bartolo, coach Tony Dungy, quarterback Brett Farr, linebacker, defensive end Kevin Green, wide receiver Marvin Harrison, tackle Orlando Pace, quarterback Ken Stabler, and guard Dick Stanfield. Dungy was the first African-American head coach to win the Lombardi Trophy while with the Colts. And he is the first African-American coach to receive the Hall of Fame honor. Brett Farr holds virtually every passing record in Packers history. And Green's 160 sacks represent so much of what the modern era is about: stopping the passing game before it ever gets started. And so on Saturday, August the 6th, the class of 2016 will be formally honored and inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. On Heritage Sunday, we honor our forebears in the faith. This morning, our text celebrates the faithfulness of the Old Testament heroes and heroines who, by their example, inspire us to keep the faith. As we gather today, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. These are people of faith, not necessarily people of exemplary character or virtue. They're people who trusted in God in good times and bad. They persisted in faith in spite of the circumstances they faced. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, known as the Hall of Faith, the writer of Hebrews names them and much of what they endured. Abel, Enoch, and Noah, Abraham and Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, and Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. It is they who are that great cloud of witnesses. But let us not forget the many unnamed heroes or heroines Shipra and Pua, Miriam, Deborah, and Esther. Yet the cloud of witnesses surrounding us today are more than a few heroes and heroines of biblical faith. They are all the saints who have gone on before us, who have run and finished the race of faith and life. They do not watch us as spectators or judges monitoring our performance. Rather, they are present, encouraging us as we struggle against the odds. No, we do not run this race alone. The saints of God are cheering us on to final victory, telling us to keep our eyes on Christ Jesus. Who has brought you here? Who are our pioneers in the faith? Who has God used to urge and inspire you to keep the faith? How did you come to know the Lord, whose life testimony made a difference for your life? Who do you see and count among the cloud of witnesses? Who are the women and men who brought you here today? As we celebrate this Heritage Sunday, the year of the 200th birthday of Frances Asbury and the 150th anniversary of the African Methodist Episcopal Church, there is a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. That great cloud includes all who have gone before us and paved the way. There are our forebearers in the Methodist tradition, Susanna, John, and Charles Wesley, founders of a movement. Thomas Webb, Barbara Heck, Thomas Polk, and Frances Asbury, who pioneered our American Methodist roots. Jacob Albright, Philip Audubon, and Martin Bain, who pioneered our Evangelical United Brethren roots. And Harry Hoosier, Absalom Jones, and Richard Allen, who pioneered our Black Methodist roots and branches. There are the forebearers of our respective congregations and the men and the women who we knew firsthand. Those who faithfully loved and cared for us, who nurtured us in the faith, who served as our role models, our Sunday school teachers, pastors and preachers, mothers and fathers, all those who lived godly lives before us. Who has brought you here? I invite you to lift up their names. This is called call and response, people. Who has brought you here? I invite you to lift up their names. What are we to do with so great a faith? Bishop Janice Riggle Huey ended a baccalaureate sermon at Southern Methodist University by quoting from Robert Fulghum's bestseller, It Was on Fire When I Lay Down on It. In his book, he describes Alexander Papaderos, teacher of Greek culture, politician, doctor of philosophy, and a remarkably complete human being. On the island of Crete, next to the mass graves of Germans and Cretans who fought each other bitterly in World War II, Papaderos founded an institute for peace, which became the source of bridge building between the two countries. And so what kind of vision motivates a man like Papaderos to transcend the focus on the individual self and dedicate his life to compassion and peace? He said this, when I was a small child, During the war, we were poor and lived in a remote village. One day on the road, I found the broken pieces of a mirror. A German motorcycle had wrecked in that place. I kept one, the largest piece. By scratching it on a stone, I made it round. I began to play with it as a toy and became fascinated by the fact that I could reflect light into dark places where the sun would never shine, in deep holes and crevices and dark closets. It became a game for me to get light into the most inaccessible places I could find. I kept that little mirror, and as I went about my growing up, I would take it out in idle moments and continue the challenge of the game. He says, as I became mature, I grew to understand that this was a metaphor for what I might do with my life. I came to understand that I am not the light or the source of light, but light, truth, understanding, knowledge is there. And it will shine in many dark places only if I reflect it. He said, I am a fragment of a mirror whose whole design and shape I do not know. Nevertheless, with what I have, I can reflect light into the dark places of the world and challenge some things in some people. Perhaps others may see and do likewise. In many ways, all the people we have named today have known that they were or are a fragment of a mirror whose God-ordained task it was to reflect the light of Christ into the dark places of the church and the world. We too are but a fragment of a mirror. God knows our whole design, fragile and imperfect as it may be. Nonetheless, with what we have, with who we are, we too are called to reflect the light of Christ into dark places. Our churches, Asbury and Foundry, are cut from the same cloth. We are cousins in justice seeking. Good Methodists know that there can be no personal holiness without social holiness. And so from its beginnings in 1836, Asbury has been a herald for racial justice. Whether it was the Underground Railroad, the March on Washington, apartheid protests, or fighting systemic racism, it is evident today, even with an African-American president, we do not live in a post-racial society. We may not have the riots like Baltimore, senseless murders like Charleston, unarmed shootings making headlines, but the tensions of race and privilege are ever before us in this city. As gentrification writes its story of displacement and homelessness. And so we are faithfully called to be light in that dark place. And Foundry, you have been uniquely positioned to be a leader in the quest for the full inclusion of LGBTQ persons. The needle seemingly moves slowly with the outcome of General Conference not altogether being what you hoped for. But this is not a time to quit, nor is it a time to leave. It is a time to engage and be part of pioneering a new future. It is a time to be faithfully light in a dark place. Race, class, gender, and sexual orientation are all intertwined. One cannot have racial justice without impacting LGBTQ justice. Neither can one seek LGBTQ rights without racial justice. Replacing Black Lives Matter with All Lives Matter is just as dismissive of Black people as it is to bar the full inclusion of LGBTQ persons. And so I believe in this present time, as we journey together onward as cousins, what we have to share and learn from one another is the hard truth of our justice seeking. That is a bold future we are called to live out, and a new frontier we are called to pioneer. Thanks be to God, we do not run this race alone. We are running together, and the saints of God are cheering us on. And though our forebearers are commended for the faith, for their faith, the race is not over. And so we remain patient, and we persevere in this race that is set before us. With all that our forebearers accomplished, with all that we learned from their lives of faith, we must never forget that the real power behind our faith rests in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the author and finisher, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, the one in whom our faith depends and in whom our faith is made whole. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. We dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And our God is able.